I appreciate the opportunity to be here, and appreciate Brother Marty in asking me to be here. I didn't know I was going to have 45 minutes. Brother Marty said I couldn't quit until 11:30. So,
don't believe it?
Okay. When I was in seminary at Southern in Louisville, Kentucky, we found out real quick. Anybody from Kentucky? So, found out real quick, basketball was important. And this was about, well, between 78 and 81. And back then, whoever just won the regular season was the SEC basketball champs. And Kentucky and LSU was playing that particular Sunday, and whoever won that game, they were going to be the champions. Well, I was filling in at a church, and just to settle people down, to make me feel, you know, get me settled down. And then the game started at noon. So I just made a comment. I know you're all hoping to be out by noon. And from the back, I promise, from the back, a voice shouted, "We will be gone by noon." And I just went, "Yes, sir, we will." So... But I am glad to be here. I want to take just 2 minutes and just share a ministry that you can be a part of. Now, I want you to humor me a little bit. I'm going to give you a couple of instructions, and I really want you to do this. I just want you to say out loud, "Hi, how are you doing?
Hi, how are you doing?
Where are you from? You have just passed the test to be a part of the Central Florida Raceway Ministries up at the racetrack. That's all you have to do. We are part, Anne-Marie and I are part of it. 98% of it is made up of churches through our association. It's coming. I know today is the last race, but at the end of January and in February, they will start again. We're always looking for volunteers to help us with the Raceway ministry. It's fun. It's enjoyable. We meet so many good people that that travel all over the United States to come into Daytona. Some we become friends with. Seems like every February. I've talked with a farmer from Iowa. And I asked him one time, I said, "Well, what size is your farm?" He said, "Oh, I have a little farm. It's just 400 acres. And I'm going, "Wow." I said, "Well, what kind of tractor do you have?" And his wife just started laughing. She said, "It's more comfortable than our home." So he said, "Yeah, I have a heater. I have air conditioning. I have stereo inside the cab of the tractor." So I hope that once we start putting out that you will help us. There are certain times that you can sign up where everybody parks their RVs, and the Speedway does a fantastic job of allowing us. They told us one time, they said, "You witness to anyone, anywhere, anytime on our property. We'll take care of any complaints." You know, news don't put that out. But the Speedway literally told us one day, "We want y'all to be our church steeple. We need one. But if you can't volunteer, we need cookies. We hand out homemade cookies. We don't want bought cookies, store-bought. We want handmade cookies." So I hope you will just think about that, pray about it, and if you like just talking to people, that's really all you have to do. It's so simple. Okay, well, let's get why we're here. Turn in your Bibles to John, the 10th chapter. And we're going to start reading in verse 20-25. Jesus answered, "I did tell you, but you do not believe. The miracles I do in my Father's name speak for me. But you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. And the Father, I and the Father are one. This man retired. After years and years of years, like most of us do, every morning he shaved. He told his wife one day, he said, I think I'm going to go down to the local barber shop and just one time, just let them shave me. Just one time since I'm now retired. Well, he went down, and the local barber shop was owned by a pastor that was part-time preacher, barber. So he went in, and he told him, he said, I'm here for a shave. And he said, oh, my wife, Grace, she does the shaving. Said, she'll be glad to shave you. She gave him the shave, charged him $20. And he thought, well, wow, that's a lot, but okay, it's the pastor, and I'm not going to argue with him or his wife, so he gave her the $20. Next morning, he got up. Face was just as smooth as after he got through with the shave, and he thought, wow, pretty good shave. Next morning, same thing. His face was still smooth. Well, this went on, and after about 2 weeks, his face was still just as smooth as if it had just been shaven. He said, well, I've got to find out what happened. Goes back to the barber shop, tells the barber, my face, after 2 weeks, said, I have not had to shave. He said, I don't understand it. And the barber looked at him and he said, well, you need to understand. You were shaved by grace. Once shaved, always shaved. It'll just humor me and just laugh anyhow. We live in an age, and I'm getting at once saved, always saved. But we live in an age where churches, where pastors, where denominations, they take God's word and they change it. And doctrine to me is very important. It's important as Southern Baptists as what we believe. We probably believe, and the scripture that I read this morning backs up why we believe once saved, always saved. Now, we've been criticized as Southern Baptists because we believe eternal security. And believe me this morning, it's real. You can have eternal security this morning. You can know that you are saved and that when you pass away, you are assured of your place in heaven. But we've been criticized because of this doctrine. But I think it's an important doctrine. I think it's a doctrine that we need to understand. I think it's a doctrine that we need to believe and that we simply just need to speak up to it. So questions about this we have. Can one that is really born in the family of God, one that has a new life, one that is, as the Bible says, you are a new creature in Christ, one that is sealed by the Holy Spirit, can that person become unsaved? Can that person lose their salvation? Well, that's what I want to talk about this morning. My interpretation and what the Holy Spirit is leading me, and I think you, no, we cannot. If we are truly saved, we cannot lose our salvation. Now, Jesus talks, he gives us an analogy here about the shepherd and the sheep. Now, understand, he is the shepherd. He and his Father are the shepherd. You and I are the sheep here. We are the sheep in this analysis. Because it says the shepherd is responsible for the salvation of the sheep. The shepherd is responsible for the safety of the sheep. The shepherd is responsible for the security of the sheep. So three things we're going to look at real quick as far as is eternal salvation, is eternal security really real? The first one is, are you saved? Have you truly accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior? Now, let me explain what I mean by truly accepted Christ. Best way I know how to put it, here's where you're born and here's where you complete your life with Jesus. We're somewhere in between. And we're moving toward this point. Somewhere as we move, we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We're new creatures. We have a new life. We have a new experience. We're sealed by the Holy Spirit. And from this point on, we are serving Christ. So we're moving forward. Now I'm going to get into this. We can take a step backwards. We can backslide. We still can sin. But if you're truly saved, you will never go past the point that where you accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior. You will always move forward. You may take a step backwards, but you're going to move two steps forwards after that because you're committed in serving Jesus Christ. Because it is through the grace of God that He's given us, has given us this gift. So there are certain things that you can be assured of your salvation. The first one, do you listen to God? Do you listen to the shepherd? Look at verse 27. My sheep listen to my voice. So if you're in tune and listening to God during your private time, quiet time, prayer time, if you're listening for God's guidance, if you're listening for that still small voice that we say that God speaks to us, if you're listening to God, then you know that you have had that experience in Jesus Christ. You are tuned in to hear God. You're tuned in to God to lead you, to guide you, and to let you know this is my purpose for you. You recognize His voice. That's in verse 27. It says, they recognize my voice. Our family got together this, around a little after Labor Day. And my grandson lives out in Texas, one of them. And he's about a year and a half. He'll be two in December. And that week he was very clingy to his dad. The mother couldn't come, but he was very clingy. So anytime he was out of sight, we learned, man, he's got a great set of lungs. That he can really express himself very well. And so I had him one time. I'm trying to entertain him while my son Brian took a shower and just kind of got ready. And everybody around was doing whatever they could to talk to him. And as soon as my son came in the room and said something, when my grandson heard his voice, everything was okay. He heard his voice. He recognized his voice. That's the way it should be with us with God, that we hear God. We recognize God's voice when He's talking to us because we have that relationship. We have that relationship with God. So do you listen? Do you listen for God's voice? Another thing is that if you know that you're saved, do you follow Him? Do you follow God? In verse 27, He says, and they follow me. They not only hear my voice, they not only know, but they follow me. You see, a true believer in Jesus Christ is going to have an outward proof of that inward relationship with Jesus Christ. You can't help it. If you have that inward relationship with Jesus Christ, your outward appearance is going to be proof. People are going to know just by that outward appearance, just by how you act outwardly, they're going to know whether you're a Christian, whether you have had that experience with Jesus Christ. When you think about animals, you know, a sheep lives like a sheep, don't they? Now, I've been told, I don't know, I've never been around sheep, but I've been told that they're not very smart. I've really been told that they're not very smart. In Psalm 23, it talks about the still waters. I've been told sheep will not cross the water that's running water. It has to be still. That if one goes off a cliff, the others are just going to follow. So they need the shepherd. So sheep live like sheep. Other animals, dogs are going to live like dogs. Maybe not some, but they're still part of your family. But a Christian, a person that is really saved, they're going to live like a saved person. Amen? They're going to live like a saved person because they have that relationship with Jesus Christ. See, there's a difference. Anyone can say, I'm saved. Anyone, doesn't matter. Anyone can say, I am saved. But a person that is saved will follow Jesus Christ regardless. So, do you listen? Do you have that true relationship with Christ? Do you follow the shepherd? And if you do, then you can know that, yes, you have been saved. You have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior. The second thing we want to look at is, am I safe? If you're talking about eternal security, am I safe? Verse 28 says, and I give them eternal life. Now understand, God and Jesus Christ is saying, and we know that the Trinity, God in three, they're all in one, that God in Christ is saying, I give them eternal life. In other words, it's God that gives us eternal security. It's through grace. But it's God that gives us that eternal security. Our salvation, our being saved, our having a new experience, being a new creature, a new creation, it does not depend upon what we do for God. What I do for God does not depend upon my salvation. You know, I can say I'm a Christian. I'm telling my age right now, but I can walk the aisle. I can be baptized. I can be a member of the church. I can come for work day Saturday, which is needed. I can be a part of the live nativity scene, but that doesn't make you saved, does it? Now, you will do those things because you are saved. You will want to do those things because you are saved, but salvation does not depend upon what you have done for God. Salvation depends on what God has done for you. And that's through Jesus Christ. What God has done for you and me is He let His Son go to the cross and die for our sins. That's why it's grace. We don't have to die that spiritual death. It's already been taken care of. Jesus paid the price. That's why God says it's through grace that you are saved, not of your works. It's through grace. So our eternal security, it's a gift. It's a gift. God has given us a gift. He said, He holds it out for us and He says, I have this gift of eternal security for you. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to work for it. You just have to accept it through my Son, Jesus Christ. But we do have to take it. We do have to accept it. But it's still a gift. If someone wanted to give you a gift, and they came to you and you say, well, here's a gift that I want to give you. And you go, oh, thank you very much. It's so sweet of you. It's so nice of you. If you never take the gift, guess what? You don't get the gift, do you? Same way with Christ. God's given us that gift of Jesus Christ through grace, but we have to take it. We have to believe it, and we have to accept it. And once we do that, it is forever. Now, we know as Baptists that we cannot earn our salvation. So just listen to this. If salvation cannot be earned by being good, then I don't think we can lose it by being bad. Can't do it. If salvation is earned by being good, we cannot lose it by being bad. We stay safe in the family of God by grace. Because that's the way God planned it. That's God's purpose. He's given it to us as a gift, and He's given it to us by grace. We've entered by grace, and we are secured by grace. John 3:36 says, "He who believes in the Son has everlasting life." When we're saved, we're set apart by God to be in His family, and it is to be eternal. Now, we'll still mess up. We still sin. But as I said earlier, we can never go back past where we accepted Christ. Because once we accept Christ, our desire is to please Him and work for Him, and we will move forward. We'll go back because we still sin, but we're constantly, consistently moving forward to God's purpose. And then the very last thing. Are you secure? Wow, this is the biggest question. If I'm really saved, and if I'm really safe, how secure is it? How secure is this salvation through Jesus Christ that God has given me? Verse 28, Jesus said, "No one." Now listen to this. "No one can snatch them out of my hand." I look at that, you know what that means? Have you ever tried to grab hold of something and you wanted to get a good grip? How many hands do you use? Two, if you can. To me, that means Jesus Christ has a double grip on my salvation, and Satan and no one can snatch it away from me. Because Jesus Christ has that grip. And He's not going to let go. Because He's already said, God's greater than anyone. So if He's got that double grip, I'm not going to lose it. I can't lose it. And no one can take it away from me. And I can't even give it back. If I truly have that salvation. In verse 29 it says, "No one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand." You're as secure as you can get. Have you ever held a newborn baby? Wow, you were careful, weren't you? You were tender with it. But as the old saying goes, you also had a death grip on him, on that baby too, didn't you? Because no way you were going to drop that baby, were you? You were going to be careful and let that baby know, you're secure in my arms. I have you. You know, you placed its head at the crook of your arm, everywhere that you needed to support and allow and know that that child was safe in your arms. That's what God does for us through salvation. That's what He does for us through grace. Your security of your salvation does not depend upon you holding on to God. Your security depends upon God holding on to you. And God holding on to me. And He's not going to let go. Once we become a part of His family through Jesus Christ, He will not let go. He is holding on to us. It's our anchor. It's our security through Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "My Father who has given them to me is greater than all." I want to share just one last illustration with you. In 1937, they began to build the Golden Gate Bridge. They did it in phases. The first phase, they said, was very, very complicated. During the first phase, they had 23 deaths of workers falling into the waters and drowning or when they hit the water. But they had 23 deaths of the workers falling. During that first phase, the workers were more worried about falling than they were getting the job done. And let's be honest, if I'd have been working then, so would I. So would you. Well, somebody decided, what if we put a net under the workers to where if they do fall, they won't fall to their death, that the net will catch them. So the second section that was built, they put a net under the workers. 10 men fell, but they fell to the safety of the net without injury. After they completed the second section of the bridge, they figured out the work went 25% faster. And all the workers said, we did not have the fear of falling to our deaths once the net was there. That's what God does with us when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. He puts His arms under us. He's holding us, and we're secure. We're safe in knowing that we have a relationship with Jesus Christ. He is our salvation. He is our safety. He is our security. You can walk out of here this morning with the belief, I'm saved. I have eternal security. It is real. And I have a place in heaven that's a place waiting for me in heaven. And I believe it. And I'm going to live my life in believing it. Because when somebody asks you, oh, you're a Baptist? I have an uncle. He's not Baptist. He ought to be, but he's not. And he's a minister of another denomination. And he kids with me all the time. Oh, yeah, I forgot. You're a Baptist. You think you can do anything you want to and still go to heaven. And one day I just looked at him and I said, I wished you halfway understood what we believed, because you'd believe it too. We do, and we should believe, once saved, always saved. It's biblical. It's biblical. So the next time somebody says, oh, you're a Baptist, and they kid you about being once saved, always saved, just say, hey, have you ever read John, the 10th chapter, starting with verse 25? It said it's biblical. It is God's word. You can and know that you have that security. So, yeah, I do. And as Baptists, we should, and I hope you do. With all that's going on in the world today, with many people taking God's word and changing it to fit what they want to believe, I've said this before. I think Southern Baptist will be the last denomination that will hold on to God's word the way it's written right now. I think we will be the last ones to hold on to it because we are biblically based. And one of our doctrines is once saved, always saved. Let's pray. Father, we come to you this morning, and Lord, we thank you for this assurance. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you that when we do accept Christ, and it's real, the Lord, it can't be taken away from us. Satan can't touch it. He can't take our salvation away from you because, Lord, it's in your hands because you've given it to us. And it's what you've done for us. So, Lord, give us that confidence this morning that through salvation that we have it, we're safe, and we're secure. And Lord, I pray if there's anyone here today that is not sure, and Lord, I'm not trying to scare anyone, but Lord, just right now through your Holy Spirit, I just pray that you let them know that they need that relationship with Christ. They need to ask for the forgiveness of their sins, and they need to ask Jesus to come into their life so that, Lord, they can start right now this morning in living a life that's pleasing to you, that they can have this safety and this security. Because, Lord, it's one of the greatest assurances that we can have. Lord, I pray that through this time, we will affirm your word and we will leave knowing that I have Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior forever. For it's in your name we pray. Amen.